That everyone's looking forward to the holidays and even to the time of fellowship we're going to have after the service with the pies and the cake and all of that. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to keep the main thing, and realize that we're here for the Word of God. And I am thankful for those who are here the night before Thanksgiving. I understand many are busy, some are out of town, and but these people took time out of their schedule to say, you know, I'm going to be in the house of God. And I appreciate that. And Lord, I pray you just help us to make good use of that and to be able to hear from your word. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Like I said, I don't want to preach a full-length sermon tonight because I want to make sure we have time for fellowship and all of that and get you out of here at a good time, which is why we're not starting the book of Romans tonight. We'll start the book of Romans chapter 1 next Wednesday night. Tonight, I don't want to preach very long. I just want to give you a few things, really just a few things to be thankful for. And what the Bible says to be thankful for. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded and we need to be refreshed in regards to what we're thankful for, what the Bible says we ought to be thankful for. Now, we're there in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to come back to Colossians chapter 3 in a little bit. But if you go to Colossians chapter number 1, just real quickly, Colossians chapter number 1, and if you look at verse number 12, I'd like you to see the first thing the Bible tells us we ought to be thankful for. Colossians chapter number 1, and if you look at verse number, look at verse number 12. Did I say that's where I want you to be? Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12. And the Bible says this: giving thanks unto the Father. Now, why should we be giving thanks unto the Father? Obviously, we're referring to the Heavenly Father. He says, giving thanks unto the Father. Why? Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is telling us, and really we understand it's God telling us, that we ought to be giving thanks unto the Father. Why should we be giving thanks unto the Father? Because He hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Now don't let the words confuse you. He says the word meet means He's allowed us to measure up. He's made us, He's qualified us or made us available to be able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. See, the Bible, and by the way, the word saints there is referring to believers. If you study the word saints in the Bible, that's talking about Christians. It's not talking about anybody in particular. Study the word out. Every time you find the word saints in the Bible, always talking about believers. But he says, when we got saved, we were able to become partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us, because he wants to make sure we understand, what are we thanking God for? He says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. So he said, he delivered you from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have, look what it says, redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So number one tonight, just want to give you a few things you ought to be thankful for. Number one, you ought to be thankful for your salvation. You ought to be thankful for the fact that you've made allowed to be, you've been made meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of God. That inheritance is heaven. That inheritance is eternal life. And it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, and we have even the forgiveness of sins. And you know, let me tell you something. As a Christian, we always ought to have an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. You say, well, Pastor, during this Thanksgiving season, I have trouble being thankful because of this situation and because of that situation and because of this is happening and because that is happening. And let me tell you something. Number one, usually when we have issues in our life, the Bible says, it's usually our own fault, number one. All right? And I know we all enjoy a good pity party, but let's just realize right now, usually when things are going wrong in our lives is because we made things go wrong. So number one, that's not God's fault.
That's right.
But number two, hey, I've always believed this, and it's true. The worst day that a saved person could have, and the worst life that a saved person could have, is better than the best life that an unsaved person could have. Because at the end of the day, at the end of your life, guess what? You go to heaven and they go to hell. Remember the story of in Luke, and I'm not going to have to turn there. Remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man? Remember, he was a beggar. He begged and he was poor and he was broke and he didn't have any family. He didn't have anybody to help him. And the rich man just lived in luxury and had a great life. But when he died, one opened up his eyes in hell and the other one was taken up by the angels in heaven. And at the end of your life, who would you rather be? See, we've got to understand, and as Christians, we've got to get this perspective, and it'll help you through trials, and it'll help you through tribulation, and it'll help you to realize that no matter what happens in life, hey, I'm saved. Hey, I've had the forgiveness of sins. Hey, God, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I accepted Him as my Savior, and He gave me an inheritance, and He made me part of His family. We ought to be thankful for that. And I think we got to be reminded in our Christian lives, we need to be thankful for salvation. And that's something you can always be thankful for. Thanks to eternal security, it can never be taken away. So we ought to be thankful for our salvation. We ought to be thankful that we've been forgiven of our sins. But number two, you know, you ought to be thankful for the Bible. You're there in Colossians. If you go to the next book in the Bible, you've got the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." For what cause do we thank God without ceasing? Look what it says. "Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You know what we ought to be thankful for? You say, I don't have much I can be thankful for. Well, let me tell you a few things you can always be thankful for. Number one, you can always be thankful for your salvation. And number two, you can always be thankful for the Word of God. And I don't really know if we understand how privileged you are as a Christian in the year 2012 to be able to hold a King James Bible in your hand and have the complete Word of God and know that it is the Word of God, know that it is infallible, know that it is perfect, know that there's no mistake in it, know that when you open this Word, you can literally hear from God. Go to Luke real quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 10. Let me just show you something here. Luke chapter number 10. If you look at verse number 23, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right before the book of John, Luke chapter number 10. If you look at verse number 23, Luke 10, 23, the Bible says, Luke chapter number 10 and verse 23, it says, "And he turned them unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." Look what he says. Look at verse 24. "For I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." The Bible tells us that many prophets and many kings. Let me tell you something. Many people who had a much stronger, who had a much closer, who had a much better relationship with God than we do today, would have loved to be able to sit down and have the Word of God, to be able to sit down and read the Word of God, to be able to, like I did today as I was working, turn on an iPod and listen to the Word of God as I'm working. People would have loved that. And yet, you and I have it available, and how often do we just let it go by the wayside? How often do we just forget about it? How often do we not read it? Or if we read it so we can mark it off somewhere, or we can say to someone, well, I read this book, but don't even really listen to them or apply them in our lives. So I'm just trying to give you a few things that you can be thankful for. You can always be thankful for your salvation. And if you're not thankful for your salvation, I've got to ask this question, are you even saved? But you can always be thankful for the Word of God. Number three, you can be thankful for the food you eat. Go to Acts. You're there in Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. If you look at verse number 35. Acts chapter number 27. If you look at verse 35, the Bible says, Acts chapter number 27 and verse 35, it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." And by the way, this, I don't have the time to develop it, but this story is the Apostle Paul. He's shipwrecked with a bunch of unbelievers. Their emotions are low. Their morale is low. Everybody's mad or upset or depressed or whatever. They haven't ate for a few days, and when they finally are able to sit down and eat something, the Bible says, and don't miss this, and when he had thus spoken, he says, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. Do you see that? You and I ought to be thankful. Every time, let me just tell you, as a Christian, you ought to make a practice. Every time you sit down to eat, you ought to just have a practice of bowing your head and thanking God that he gave you that food to eat. And this Thanksgiving, you may be having a meal with people that aren't believers, that aren't saved. You don't have to make a show of it. You don't have to stand up and say, before we eat, raise your hands. Dear Heavenly Father. Don't make a show of it. That's what the Pharisees do. You understand that? But there's nothing wrong with before, oftentimes my wife and I will be maybe spending time with family that aren't saved or aren't Christians or whatever, and we're having a meal. We always make sure that at least our family, just quickly, as discreetly as possible, to not to offend, we'll ask God to bless our food and thank Him for it. And you say, how did that go over? Well, we did it once, and then from then on, every time we came over, they always want to pray before we eat. You understand that? And the Apostle Paul said, hey, it doesn't matter what you think. He says, I'm going to thank God, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. You got to be thankful for the food that God is giving you, especially as we go into this season where it's all about food, right? You got to thank God and realize that it is God that provided. Go to 1 Timothy, real quickly. 1 Timothy. I'm trying to do this fast so we can thank God for that pie and then get to it, all right? 1 Timothy. Chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And by the way, don't let somebody tell you that you can't eat the pork, and you can't eat this, or you can't eat that, because, of the Mosaic Law. Read your New Testament. It says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by, notice, the word of God and prayer. What he's saying? He's saying this. Somebody gives you something to eat, you just thank God. You sanctify it, and you pray. You pray, you ask God to bless the meal to your body, and then you eat. And we need to get to the place in our society, go to Matthew, where we're thankful to God for what He has provided. Now let me tell you something. The reason that most people, Matthew chapter number 6, sometimes we as Christians will complain and we'll say, well, God hasn't met my needs, or we'll say, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I don't have it. And number one, let me just go back to this, because I think we need to understand this. We've lost this concept in America today. We've lost the concept of this word, responsibility. Usually people find themselves in a mess because they put themselves in a mess. But you better realize that it is God that takes care of you. And see, we thank God when things are good. But let me tell you something. God is good all the time. And maybe you're not getting what you want, but you ought to be thankful for what you're getting. You understand that? You say, well, I'm not gonna be able to have a full three-course Thanksgiving meal tonight. I'm sure you're going to eat tomorrow something. Say, well, all we got for Thanksgiving is a cup of noodles. Well, is it the shrimp kind? because that's something to be thankful for. you got something? Be thankful. Sometimes I wonder if we were thankful for the little things God gives us, maybe He'd give us more. See, we ought to be thankful. You're there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 31. The Bible says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look what it says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, most Christians like this part. All these things shall be added unto you. Okay, well, God's going to take care of me. God's going to feed me. God's going to make sure my car works. And God's going to make sure I have any clothes to God. Because all these things shall be added unto thee. But they forget this part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, He only says, I'll add these things when you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And God knows if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And He'll make sure He takes care of you. But seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. But it goes back to this. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a steak meal. But He said, I'll take care of you. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need to just realize that we need to be thankful. Like I said, you may not have a three-course, or is there something more fancy than a three-course meal? What's more fancy? A six-course meal? You may not be having a six-course meal like Brother Vincent is. I didn't even know there was a six-course meal. But be thankful. Say, well, Pastor, we don't have, if you were honest, look around. Good night. Some of us could skip a few meals and be okay. Right? See, I don't have any food. That's a good excuse to start fasting. Yeah, I think we're blessed in America. I think we're blessed in the United States of America, where literally I laugh when I listen to the news and people talk about the poverty line and how many percentage people. If you took the lifestyle of the people underneath the poverty line in the United States of America, they'd be like multimillionaires in most countries in this world. But here's what we like to do: complain and whine and throw a pity party. Hey, you gotta just be thankful for what God has given you. You ought to be thankful that God doesn't just throw you into hell. This is what you ought to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful for our food. And as we go into Thanksgiving season, hey, don't sit down and start all this pie and all this turkey and all that. Hey, take some time and say, God, thank you for providing this. And really, the food is just a picture of everything God's provided for us. Life and clothing and health. And you say, well, I don't have good health. Hey, thank God anyway. You know, Job said, are we going to receive evil at the hand of, or good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? So we ought to be thankful for that number, whatever number we're on. Be thankful for people. Be thankful for people. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, real quickly. We got to hurry up. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, right after the book of Romans, you got 1 Corinthians, and you got the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 16. The Bible says, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Hey, you know what? And maybe this is a little too self-serving, and I apologize, but I'm supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. The Apostle Paul is telling the church at Corinth here, Titus was an elder or a leader or a pastor in that church, and he said, hey, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. You know what he's telling him? He's saying, hey, you ought to be thankful that there's somebody who's willing to take care of you.
That's right.
You ought to be thankful. And look, let me tell you something. We are the most ungrateful people in America today. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Go to Ephesians. Right after 2 Corinthians, you got the book of Galatians. Ephesians. I just want you to see this. Ephesians chapter number 1. If you look at verse number 16, Ephesians chapter number 1, look at verse 16, the Bible says, Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying that he does not cease, it says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You're there in Ephesians, go to Colossians. Right after Ephesians, you got the book of Philippians. Right after the book of Philippians, you got the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1, look at verse number 3. Colossians chapter number 1. In verse number 3, the Bible says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Right after Colossians, you got the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2. I just want you to see this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. In verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Go to chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Let me tell you something. If you study this word thank in the Bible, or thank you, you will find that the vast majority of references is people like the Apostle Paul thanking God for individuals in their lives. Now, we live in this society where people are just selfish, and we've got this entitlement mentality where it's just like, well, what can you do for me, and what can you help me with, and how what can I get out of this relationship? And we understand that, and we preach on that on Sunday morning. Hey, we ought to do right. You say, well, they're using me. You ought to love your enemy anyway. Well, they don't do good to me. You ought to be good to them anyway. Well, they despitefully use me. You ought to pray for them anyway. We understand that, but let me tell you something. On our end, we ought to be thankful for those who help us.
Amen.
We need to realize that, hey, people don't have to do anything for you.
Yes.
I can't believe they're going to let me. You can't believe what? That someone takes the time to talk to you? You know, it's like, you, they've done 300 other favors for you, but the one time they don't do a favor, it's like, I can't believe they're doing it. You're ridiculous. That just shows so much of the mentality we have. And you say, Pastor, why are you saying? I'm saying this, we need to realize that we need to be thankful. Look, in my life, there are people. Yeah, you can hear, you hear me talk about it? My dad, people like Pastor Mark Lewis, my good friend Pastor Steve Anderson. You know, there are men that have came up beside me in my life that I am so indebted to, spiritually, as a friend. I just think about, man, I'm so thankful for this person. I try to take every opportunity I can. Not this shallow, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying. People know when you're being a hypocrite. But why to have it, you know, so thankful that you pray for them? Did you notice how many times Paul was saying, I cease not to pray and I thank God for you? Say, Pastor, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you and your pastor's wife. Well, don't tell me so much how you're thankful. Just pray for us. That'll do so much more for us. You understand what I'm saying? We ought to pray for each other and we ought to love each other and we ought to be there for each other. I'm thankful for the testimonies of people saying how our church, and yes, it's a young church, we understand that, but even this young church has come together and helped each other out and been there for us and loved each other and prayed for us. Hey, you ought to be thankful for that. Thankful for people. The number one thing you find the Apostle Paul being thankful for is for other individuals. Go to Ephesians real quickly. Ephesians. You're going back in your New Testament, past the book of Philippians to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And I want you to see this. It's very obvious in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see this. Do you see at the end of verse number 20, a semicolon? Do you see that? That tells us that the rest of the, whatever it's going to say, has to do with the last statement. Well, what was the last statement? That he's giving thanks. And what is he giving thanks for? Well, notice, semicolon, he's saying these thoughts are connected. And then in verse 21, he begins to go into the subject of the family. You say, what can I be thankful for? You ought to be thankful for your family. Look what it says. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now here's what I'm trying to see. He says in verse 20, giving thanks, semicolon, and then he talks about his family. Now, look, now watch this. Go to Colossians. Remember we started in Colossians? You're there in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to see this. Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse 15, and we're going to come back to verse 15 in a second, but it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Look, he says, and be ye thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, tell me if this is a coincidence. He said, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, period. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as is fit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You think it's a coincidence that whenever God begins to talk about the family, he always says this at the beginning, hey, be thankful. You know what you ought to be thankful for? Your family. Say, well, you don't know my family. Well, it's the only family you got. You don't get to choose your family, but you ought to be thankful for your family. You got to be thankful for your wife. You got to be thankful that for the children that God has blessed you with. Today we have this mentality. People today have a mentality that they're burdened with their children. Your children are not a burden, they're a blessing. And we have this wrong mentality about the family. Everybody wants to complain about their spouse. Well, if you knew my husband, and blah, 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 and if you knew my wife, blah, 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 and if you knew this, if you knew that. Look, if we knew everybody the way we all know each other, none of us would be friends. Well, if you only knew, if we knew about you as much as you want to tell me about your spouse, we'd probably take their side. And just realize you ought to be thankful for your family. You ought to be thankful for the things that that God has given you. We read that quote. That's a quote by Dr. Jack Howells, by the way. The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. See, the reason we're not thankful is because we are expecting. We expect to be given, and we expect to be helped, and we expect this, and we expect that. And when you expect something and someone fits the need, hey, they just met your expectation. Someone who expects nothing has gratitude when they're given something. Say, well, I expected a better family. If you just, you know, there are some people who wish they had a family. There's some people who just wish they had somebody they could spend Thanksgiving with. You understand that? And if you understood that your children or your spouse or your finances or your home or your job or your car or whatever, your clothes or whatever it is you like to complain about, if you just realized that God didn't have to give you that and you didn't have an expectation, it would help your gratitude. Because the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. If I didn't expect God's blessing, then I'd be grateful when He gave me that blessing. Number done. We're done right here. I don't know what number we're at. What number is that? 5? None of you are paying attention. Go to Philippians real quick. Now keep your finger in Colossians, okay? Because we're going to come back to it. Go to Philippians right before the book of Colossians there. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. I know that there's just that pumpkin pie out there. You're like, Pastor, I'm not listening to a sermon because I'm just thanking God for that pumpkin pie right now. All right. Let me give you one more. We're done. Philippians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, verse 1. I'm going to show you a few verses here. We're going to go back to Colossians and we'll pray. Okay, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Look what it says. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints, make note of that, in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. So he's talking about the saints which are at Philippi. What's at Philippi? The church of Philippi. That's who the book of Philippians was written to. With the, notice, bishops and deacons. Referring about spiritual leadership. Look at verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with you. Look what he says. Why does he thank God? Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know what you should be thankful for? Your church. You ought to be thankful for your church. I don't know if you really understand it. I don't think some people, maybe you don't get it, you understand this. Verity Baptist Church is a very unique type church. Churches like these are very few and far between. You don't find them. Churches that teach you to like each other and love each other. Churches that are trying to actually reach the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just have some sort of a social club. Churches that have the word of God and preach it and teach it. And don't, you know, skirt around an issue and don't, you know, try to sugarcoat it. But just tell you exactly what the Bible says. You say, well, Pastor, we should be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful for that. That's a dying breed. There's not many churches like this today. Let me tell you something. Our world today is just filled with sin. It's filled with wickedness. I mean, just lewdness and adultery and fornication and drugs and alcohol and everything that's wicked is just running rampant outside of these walls right now. And in 2012, I'm not saying 1950, 1930, in 2012, there is a place in Sacramento, California, where people actually come together to hear the Word of God preached and hear people preach against sin and wrong. Hey, you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful for a church for a church that's not just trying to tell you, well, this is what we do and this is why, you know, this is what we've always done and this is what Baptists do. But we actually try to teach you the Bible and teach you the Word and try to get you to grow and try to get you to learn and understand. You ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
You ought to be thankful for the fellowship we have and for the mission of this church and the fact that it even exists. Say, Pastor, I don't have anything to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. You need to open your eyes. Are you saved? You got something to be thankful for. You got a Bible? You got something to be thankful for. You got food? You got something to be thankful for. You got a family? You got to be thankful for. You say, I don't have a family. You got a spiritual family? Right here. And just like your physical family, we can't choose our spiritual family. We have our own crazy uncles and aunts too. Man, you got to be thankful for that.
That's right.
We need to have, see, we need to have the spirit of gratitude. Go. I told you to keep your finger there in Colossians, right? Go back to Colossians just real quickly. We're done right here. Okay, Pastor, why do we need to do that? Well, here's why. Look at Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 15. We're done right here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3:15 says this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And I want you to notice this phrase. Be ye thankful. And I want you to understand this. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. God doesn't tell you, be thankful if you feel like it. God doesn't say, be thankful if things are going good. God doesn't say, be thankful when you're succeeding. He says, be ye thankful. We had to learn a lesson from Job, where when everything was falling apart in his life, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today we've got this selfish mentality where the Lord gave and he took away and I'm going to stop serving him. We don't have many Jobs around anymore. He said, be ye thankful. It's a command. So what should we do? What should we do with that? You know, tomorrow you gotta take some time and just get on your knees and be ye thankful to God. Be ye thankful for what he's given you. Be ye thankful. You say, well, you don't understand, my marriage is falling apart. Well, be thankful for the good times he gave you. My children are living in sin. Well, be thankful for the good times he gave you with them. My finances are in sin. Well, be thankful that he has taken care of you thus far. Well, this is going on and that and this. Hey, just be thankful. Be thankful you're saved. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for our church, Lord. I know that sermons like this maybe aren't the most popular thing that people want to hear. But Lord, we just need to wake up and realize that. We need to be thankful. Thankful for the things you've done for us. Thankful for loving us. Thankful for taking care of us. Lord, I pray you'd just bless us. Bless those who are here tonight. I know that those who would come to church on a Wednesday night, they already are showing that they're interested in you and love you. But on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving to come to church, those are people that really love you. And Lord, I'm thankful. If I don't say it enough, I'm thankful for Verity Baptist Church. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.